So mine is Edna Mode reviewing costumes.
Okay.
Okay.
And when we get to it, Grace, I'd like you to read some lines as Edna Mode, if you don't mind.
What makes you think I can do an Edna Mode impression?
I think you're more qualified than the rest of us.
What qualification do you need to sound like Edna Mode?
You are female. Me and James are not.
Saying that, the voice of Edna Mode was not female.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that makes me the least qualified.
Saying that, I don't think me or Nick could get the tone or the accent. Grace, I've heard you do similar accents before. I think you can do it.
No, darling. That's not how it goes. Is that like that?
Perfect.
Okay, right. Okay, I'll try my best.
Yeah.
So basically, I've been having these herbal teas and stuff because I'm trying to quit sugar and all that.
Yeah.
And if I look into my phone's gallery, I've been taking photos of all the tags, and I think I've obviously sent them to you. And it's things like compassion has no limit, kindness has no enemy, and stuff like that. And it's like your strength is your own knowledge, and never try to impress others. Try to impress yourself. Give love. Get love, and etc.
Wow.
And
that's really, really wanky.
It is, isn't it?
Have you been feeling more enlightened since you started drinking this?
I wish.
It must be really good tea.
It's okay. I'm trying to find the one tea bag that, like, ruined my day. Where is it?
Okay, so from...
There must have been some bad tea.
From decent tea to ruining your day.
This is really irritating, because I vaguely remember what it says, but I wanted to quote it, and I can't find it. That's really irritating.
Maybe it made you so angry that you deleted it from your phone.
Yeah.
I must have just been like, right, eat, go.
Was it something like... picture an ocean, serene, that sort of thing.
Add lavender to milk. Leave town with an orange and pretend you're laughing at it.
Thank you. I couldn't remember the ones from Black Books. A flower does not think
it.
Of competing. Wait,
I found it.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, do you want to...
Sure. A flower does not think of competing to the flower next to it. It just blooms.
Christ.
That's not strictly true, but there we go.
A calm mind is the ultimate weapon against your challenges.
Oh, no.
No, it isn't.
No, it's usually a sledgehammer.
What if your challenges are an invading horde? You're going to need a sword or a gun or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
That was on a picture of a beach when I typed in calm quotes.
Oh, that's very nice.
Oh, yes. Let's all do some calm quotes.
Do you want the story or not?
Yes, go on then.
Okay, so what happened is I was quite groggy and I just threw the whole tea bag in with the tab and everything into the boiling hot water. Realised, oh no, I've got to take the tab out and just dip my hands into the boiling hot water to remove only the tab. My hands are boiling as I'm fishing through the fucking boiling water to take the tab out. Because you put the tab out so you don't boil your hands on the fucking tea bag. And what does it say? It's on the tab that day, it said, have wisdom in your actions and faith in your merits. So all I did today was not think... fuck up my hands, and I just scalded my fingers.
And it just mocks you.
that's excellent. I think you would have been less pissed off if the tab just said, should have used a spoon, you dozy motherfucker.
So what, were you drinking this tea while you were reading something, by any chance?
Oh, I must have been, yes.
I'm setting you up as a segue.
I know, but it's just so obvious that I kind of miss it. I'm like, what's he actually getting at? That's really obvious.
I'm guessing at asking you what you were reading.
I know. Yeah, every time you try to.
Because this is a podcast where we read.
I know, but you try and make it sound really natural, and it's obvious it's not. It just gets really confusing.
Grace, the audience, they know why we're here. It doesn't need to be natural and smooth.
Yeah, I know why I'm here, because I don't normally chat to people with a recording app up, sat with a notebook in front of me of a fan fiction I've spent hours reviewing.
Not only that. Normally, I put in the little dun 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 music.
Yeah.
That comes in before I ask what you're reading, so people know. They know what's coming. It doesn't need to be natural.
I forget that you do that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's editing. Right. Okay. All right.
Oh my
gosh.
Start again. Tell us about the thing.
Okay. What I've been reading? How dare you? Dum 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 dum.
Today I have Here Lies Scholter's... You're going to have to forgive me because I'm never going to say this name right. Here Lies Scholter's Hopes and Dreams by Drifting Manatee. Manatee.
I was about to correct you and be like, it's pronounced Scholter, but it's the manatee bit you got wrong instead.
Here Lies Scholter's Hopes and Dreams by Drifting Manatee. Okay?
I think you'll find it's pronounced Manatee.
Manatee.
Is it?
No, it's not.
Manatee.
It's pronounced Manate.
Drifting Sea Cow. There we go.
Drifting Sea Cow.
I love it when there's an English dub. Ah, excellent. We'll call him Drifting Sea Cow.
I like manatees. They're such chill animals.
Mm.
Okay. So the tags include Dadazawa, which is a play on the names of the teacher, as well as him being kind of the parental role.
Okay.
But very reluctant. Canon compliant. Crack. Implied sexual content. Swears a lot. This is a sex ed fic.
Hey.
I'm not sorry. I can't believe I wrote this. Class 1A shenanigans. My Hero Academia. Aizawa is the suffering father to a class full of idiots. Humour. Fluff and humour. But not a lot of fluff. SpongeBob SquarePants references. Yes, really. And Minato Minoru being an asshole. Which he always is, so it's good to see there's a warning in there.
Have you checked how many fics have the tag Dadazawa?
I have not.
I'm going to click on it
now. Would you like to hazard a guess? No. Would you like to guess before you click on it?
I'm going to say 100.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people will have come up with that joke.
Nick?
I'm going to pretend that I didn't click on the tag.
Oh, fine.
And you're going to ace the number.
And say 360 million.
Okay, you are both wrong. And points to Nick for going for something so wrong. It's 7,636 at the time of recording.
7,000 for Dadazawa.
Yeah. So split the difference.
Wow.
7,500. So that's more than a lot of the fandoms we've covered.
Today you will be teaching sex ed. Anyone who's seen the show knows this is probably the most hideous situation he could ever find himself in. And it starts, well, acknowledging this. And it continues to do that throughout. There's a dead man walking, it says. He knew this day was coming. Indeed, ever since Nedzu had sat serenely in his office, as if he wasn't about to make Shota pray for the ceiling to collapse and crush him faster than Midoriya crushes his bones. Because apparently the principal eats his breakfast cereal with the tears of his staff and had sat in his armchair, smiling angelically, like the psychopath man-bear-mouse demon that he really is, and handed out lesson plans like they were pixie sticks and not harbingers of destruction that would ruin Shota's life.
So I'm guessing that Shota isn't having a very good day.
No, that particular staff meeting had been 2 weeks ago. He had 2 weeks to physically, mentally, and spiritually prepare himself, and no amount of research, lesson restructuring, or simply staring into his cat's eyes and whispering, would ever fool him into thinking he was ready. But there he was, the time had come. Oh, God.
Poor man.
So, he just had to sort of stand at his podium and just introduce the class, like, okay, you know, everything, rest of today's been cancelled, oh, you know, why is that? You know, we're going to be covering something else today, children. And then the student council president shouts, oh, we were told that we'll be receiving a special presentation this morning. May I ask if we'll be assessed on it today? Idiot, sit down. You will not be assessed on this. And I hope for the sake of your souls that you'll never be.
There's some lovely description there. Chopping his arm in the air like a turbo-powered Jackie Chan.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what he is.
That speaks to like my inner 3-year-old.
Like, he is turbo-powered.
Excellent.
Because he's got rocket legs.
Oh, that's the guy with rocket legs. Right, okay.
I think so, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's the Mega Man one.
Ida.
Yeah.
What? Sorry, I just reading down. Cammy, listening to Smash Mouth doesn't count as studying for English.
It does if you believe in yourself. Oh, dear.
Mouth album number 5 confirmed.
Shut up, Nick. No one's going to get that reference.
Only me and James got that. If you got that reference, please write to us at... what was the email address?
Oh my... We've been doing this for a year.
I know, my mind's gone blank.
Thefanshippingforecast@gmail.com.
Thank you, James.
So, he says that usually at the UA we teach you about the trials you may face out in the field. However, sometimes you'll have to overcome obstacles. That's how I'm more personal in nature. What, like taxes? No! Can we learn something about taxes someday? It seems like super hard. I'm an underground hero, not an accountant, and I'm not teaching how to do your taxes. But, sir, no buts. As we were saying, put your hand down. In these situations, you'll have to manoeuvre your personal lives are not something any joint exercise or USJ simulation could ever prepare you for. UA is a school, and there is a national curriculum.
Wow.
I can't say
how
that
word.
How did
Ofsted rate your school, Grace?
They told us we weren't security conscious enough, and it now has bars all the way around it to keep the students in.
Oh. So does mine.
So they taught you how to break out of public prison, school. But they didn't teach you how to say curriculum.
That is that kind of school.
Man. Ah, right, okay.
If you're a 4-year-old and you glass someone, that's kind of where you end up. So
let's leave that at
national,
that. Shall we?
That is a national curriculum. Shut up! I got it the fourth time. That must be adhered to. As educators, this is our duty. I said, put your hand down to provide you with knowledge that acknowledges. That wasn't even there. To provide you with knowledge that allows you to prepare for yourselves for life, not just on the battlefield. Yeah. Can I quickly just say, dyslexia comes with my autism. So if people like to give me a fucking break.
You can't just pull the autism card for everything.
I can in situations... It is relevant.
Oh, right, that's it then. If Grace gets an autism card, I want a northern card.
No.
You already have a northern card. If you don't like something, you tell them to fuck off.
It's every time you discuss something that is urbane and cultured and I have no fucking idea what you're on about, I should get to pull the northern card.
To be fair, I didn't know what halloumi was till I moved down south.
What's halloumi?
Really?
No, I know what
halloumi
okay.
is. Okay, you gave me the sense of relief. It's not just me, but no.
But I didn't know what it was until I met Sophie about 5 years ago, because she loves the stuff.
Oh.
So
we will have learned it around the same time.
Yes, pretty much.
Brilliant. That makes me feel a little bit better.
This is why we need a northern card, because of our deprived childhoods.
Yes. Okay. Fine by me. Grace, you get to keep the autism card if we get to keep the northern cards.
That's fine, I wasn't bargaining.
Right, so how does sex then
you
go?
You two need it.
How dare you.
Either way, he starts like writing in chalk the names on the words on the board, and the students just all look like they're on the verge of a mental breakdown. It's got sex education written across the board, and everyone's just like, no.
Oh.
No. Oh, dear.
Yeah, that takes me back.
Yeah. So they go through a presentation on mood swings, genital diagrams, sexuality, consent, STDs. And throughout is Shota is just handling it in his typical grumpy dad way. You know, it's very funny listening to all the things the class come out with while he just tries to get through the lesson and just get the fuck out of there. Like, just run home to the break room and things like that. Hang on, I've got to let the cat out of my room because she doesn't want to be here anymore. Go on, off you go.
Even the cat despairs at the thought of sex education.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wouldn't you? Like, that was the most traumatising lesson you'll ever
have.
Yeah,
it was, actually.
Like, you're sat amongst other awkward teenagers, just like, we all hate each other, we all have to sit here and listen to
it. It's, my memory of sex ed was basically the teachers going up in front of the class and saying, look, to keep yourself safe, don't have sex. But in case you do, then here's a way to get through it safely.
Our teachers just looked at us and laughed and said, hey, you don't need this.
Yeah, you're already banging, so...
Sure, that's where I was going with that.
At 11.
No, this was a primary school. We were 11, 10, 11, and we weren't.
We don't want to deal with this, so we're going to let your secondary school deal with it.
So I just read ahead and noticed why they're getting the sex ed being taught.
I was going to skip that bit.
Oh, were you?
Just, I wanted to avoid anything to do with relationships with the actual
Grace,
students.
What's the name of our show?
Yeah, all right, go on.
I can cover it if you want.
It's alright, I'll go over it. Alright, let me scroll back up. So basically it all got moved forward, because apparently All Might had spotted Bakugo and Krishma snogging in the changing rooms or something. And so this gets pointed out in front of the class, and they're like, oh, it's because All Might caught you and Carrie canoodling in the boys' locker room. We weren't fucking canoodling, we were kissing. Same difference, man. If you think sticking your dick somewhere and kissing are the same thing, then no wonder they brought sex ed for our fucking class.
And then Kirishima's in the background, just... I want to die.
Yeah. Oh god, yeah, so basically there are some really funny lines in it, and it's and it's like you know, that mood swings happen to both sexes. Oh yes, Todoroki, could that be why I cried myself the other night myself oh, sorry could that be why I cried myself to sleep the other night after Midoriya showed me a video of an orphan duckling that infringed on the St. Bernard? It could be, yes. Alternatively, it might be wise to make an appointment with Houndog. I can't. Why? I might be reminded of the St. Bernard. Moving on.
So Houndog is part dog, I believe. He's one of the police.
Really?
He's a man with a dog's face. Yeah. And he says woof every once in a while.
So I just like the Bakugo lines. It's like, Manessa, it's called a period and it's perfectly fucking normal. that was Juro. Never mind. Sorry, Juro. I just assumed it was Bakugo because of the yelling.
Because it was an old cast.
But no, it makes more sense that it's Juro. Apologies.
Can anyone tell me where the prostate is? Anyone? Yes, Hagakure. Up the butt. Correct. Yay, I win! And no one
wins.
Believe me. Turn over the page and this is what the inside of penis looks like. Please stop crying, Coda, or I might join in with you.
I don't think they taught what the prostate is in sex ed.
No, they didn't.
They mentioned it in our sex ed, because I think they were sure that at least someone in our class was gay.
Oh.
So they're like, you're going to want to know about this.
Oh. I see.
We didn't get that. We just got a rundown of all the fucking diseases and how to put a condom on, and that was about it.
Yeah, it was just the diseases and how your life will be ruined if any of you get pregnant before you turn 16.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Your life will be over. Think of your career.
Didn't stop anyone, incidentally.
No, it didn't.
Well, dear. Either way, after a little while of everyone just slowly losing their mind slightly. The old school nurse, recovery girl, comes in and slams a massive purple dildo on the teacher's desk. And the teacher, he just feels like his soul has left his body for the 24th time that day. Because it's time for condom practice, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no.
The school nurse goes round and slams a gigantic plastic schlong on each desk. One student accidentally breaks a condom. One accidentally breaks the dildo with his bare hands. One just hides under the desk and, like, whispers to his pet hamster. One just hoards all the condoms and he's asked to, like, take it out of his pocket. Todoroki fucking attempts to lower his dildo onto the condom like he's King Arthur inserting a sword in the fucking stone. And Kaminari, the ever dependable destroyer of the last shreds of Shota's sanity, places a condom over his nose and does a Squidward impression.
You can't fool me, Plankton. I listen to public radio.
Christ. Last but not least is a video on the miracle of childbirth.
Oh, I remember this one, actually.
Naturally, it manages to scar everyone, apart from explosive Gordon Ramsay, who just watches it with something akin to fascination. And Kaminari just faints, and the bell rings, and it's over. And he's just, like, taken, like, to the medical room, unconscious. Shota is then, like, what's that place that the teachers go to escape
staff
the students?
The teacher's lounge, or staff room, yes.
Yes, they're in the... they're in the barracks. And Shota is being poured a nice black coffee in his favourite cat mug with "I hate people" or whatever
it
was written
on it.
Cats
are better than people.
Cats are better than people. And drinks it still boiling just to feel something. How was it? Hisashi asks. Awful. I listened to Recovery Girl talk my students through all the symptoms of herpes. I had to watch Midoriya draw his own diagrams of the urethra in his notebook. I had to hear Idia say the words missionary position. I had to look Todoroki in the eyes and explain to him that he couldn't get a woman pregnant by urinating in them. And it ends with Shota just ruining his existence and being grateful that Midnight wasn't in the lecture too, because that would have just been infinitely more work. And there we go.
Wow.
Yeah, brilliant.
I really liked that.
This has given me some horrible flashbacks to our own sex ed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I guess that means this fic is doing its job right.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really nice to know that sex ed wasn't just traumatic for us.
Yeah. I don't know, our teacher loved it. I had this teacher who absolutely relished making everyone uncomfortable. And, like, she was kind of my spirit animal up until I had to put up with it myself. And, yeah, I was just, oh, fuck's sake. I had to have dinner with her because I'm friends with her daughter. And so I went round her house and she was like, "Would you like some sausages, Grace? I've got some nice big fat ones." And I was just like, "You and my sex ed teacher, don't offer me sausage." I can't do this. Needless to say, I never went round and had dinner there again.
What, in case she made you spotted dick?
Oh, don't. I think she knew. I think she fucking knew. Like, it's really awkward because I was still calling her Mrs. whatever her last name was. And she's like, "Oh, you can call me by my first name." I was like, "No,
no, that would be too weird."
I can't do that. That's too much, man. It's incredibly amusing. I skimmed over a lot of things because obviously I needed to condense it for the show. However, I highly recommend people read this because there's just loads of really gold lines in there that are absolutely hilarious. Like, it was funny throughout.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, reading along, I kept thinking, "Grace, why are you leaving this out?" And then you read something even funnier and I was like, oh, that's yes. Why this needs to get... Fair enough. So, yeah, we didn't cover all this. Go away and read it. Thank you, Drifting Manatee.
It was good. That was quite enjoyable.
Nick?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we should probably introduce it properly so I can, you know, do the cut and everything.
Very professional.
Grace, do you want to introduce Nick, or shall I?
Da-dum,
you what?
Just say, shall we mix it up, and do you want to introduce Nick, or...?
Nick, what have you been reading? There you are.
Well,
There you are, doesn't really...
All right. Nick, what have you been reading?
I can add the music in.
I was going to say...
That's also not what it sounds like.
It's the shipping forecast, not Blind Date.
Yeah. So, Nick, here's what you could have won. That's also not Blind Date, but tell us what you've been reading.
I know, you're really not Cilla Black.
No, I'm glad.
Yes, we're glad as well. Okay, so I've been reading something called Take My Brain or What Remains by Deathly Silence. I've got to make a confession here. It was round about 50,000 words and it still isn't finished yet. So I unfortunately didn't have a chance to finish it over the 2 weeks. So basically...
Is it one you want to come back to?
Yes, no, definitely. The weird thing is, despite only knowing about one of the elements of the two fandoms which have sort of been crossed over in this, because this is a crossover fic, I wanted to keep reading, you know, and I still want to keep reading. I think this is one of the ones which I will go back and I will finish, because I just wanted to see where it was going.
Okay.
And, it's interesting. Okay, so it starts out... I'm going to butcher this pronunciation. Midoriya Izuku. He is a young boy who was alive before the birth of Quirks. Okay. So the way he gets to the modern world is through everybody's favourite sadistic test environment, the Aperture Science Laboratories.
Ooh.
And it turns out it's his origin story, only instead of the all-for-one quirk?
Yeah.
The one-for-all quirk, yeah. Sorry. The one for all quirk, he ends up being able to produce portals with his hands. So the first chapter sort of deals with him being imprisoned in the test chamber by GLaDOS, everybody's favourite malevolent AI. Second only to HAL 9000, of course. What up, my boy?
Of course.
Yeah, basically, he's got the whole sort of portal gun and orange jumpsuit thing, but then GLaDOS takes him to... an older part of the facility. And do you remember the boots that were on Chell's ankles, which enabled her to fall from a great height?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he has those. And basically, GLaDOS being GLaDOS, she takes him into a room where mechanical claws pin him down, saw his legs off, and replace them with the boots.
Ow. No need for that.
Yeah, it's quite traumatic for poor old Midoriya. This happens over the course of sort of many surgical procedures. He gets, like, you know, autronic eyes and you know, upgraded, like, skeleton. And also his hands can morph into the shape of portal guns and he can fire portals and also do that thing where portal guns can sort of pick things up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They just sort of negate gravity. You know, there's the thing in front of you, you fire your portal gun at it and it just sort of picks it up and holds it there. And you can sort of move it about and put it down no matter how heavy it is. So, yeah, that's what happens in the first chapter. It's a little bit intense.
Yeah.
He also finds... do you remember the scene in Portal 2 where you are being led around by Wheatley and you happen among a room of conveyor belts leading to incinerators? And there's that one turret that's still slightly alive, basically going, hello, help me, I'm different, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Midoriya rescues this turret.
Oh.
Because... he notices that rather than having, like, you know, pre-programmed phrases that the turrets say, this one seems self-aware, which, of course, was never supposed to happen, which is why it's being consigned to the incinerator.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ends up befriending this turret, which he takes back to his relaxation chamber. He tells... The turret tells Midoriya about GLaDOS's real name, which, of course, is Caroline. Spoiler alert, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then this goes on for a while, and then he is rescued by none other than Aizawa.
Hey.
I was just about... I noticed Dad Zawa is also in,
yes,
this, in the text.
Woo, yeah, Dad Zawa. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's rescued by Aizawa, who agrees to sort of take him in. Aizawa kind of strikes me as he's the sort of cop from the noir film, the one that's been on the force for 40 years and is just tired of everyone's shit. He's seen it all.
Yeah, that's him.
Tired is very much Aizawa.
Yeah, he goes to sleep in his lessons.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. He brings a sleeping bag with him.
That's it. It's like there's a task force which breaks in to the Aperture Science Labs and rescues Midoriya. And over the course of the next few chapters, it is quickly established that it isn't 2017, as Midoriya thinks. It's actually 2194.
Ooh.
And wars have been fought over the quirks, and he learns that sort of 80% of people now have quirks, and he basically just tries to fit in this strange new world he's been thrust into. He ends up going to see, take his exams for middle school and things like that, and it's just pretty good. The only thing is, I can only really give you a brief overview because there's just so much sort of depth and quality to this. I mean, it is sort of 50,000 words long and it shows no signs of being finished. But it is really interesting. I'm going to have to come back to it and report back because, as I say, I didn't have time to read it all. But the bits that I did see, were interesting. It kept me hooked all the way through it.
Oh, sounds good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to do a follow-up episode at some point because I've got one I need to go back to now, and so do you, so...
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
If Grace can find one
it's,
as well.
It's, that's it. Yeah. It's, I do have sort of less to say on this, for which I much apologise, but honestly, I don't really want to spoil it for you.
Oh, fair play.
That is fine.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people want to go and read this themselves, because, I mean, I have no knowledge of My Hero Academia whatsoever, only from the things that James and Grace have told me. And I still enjoyed this fic. I like the portal reference, but
that is high praise.
Yeah, literally, he's in the Aperture Science Labs for all of maybe 1.5 chapters.
Yeah, by the looks of it, it's not even particularly faithful to Portal by the sounds of it, because making someone a cyborg does not seem like GLaDOS's normal MO.
Yeah, that's right? Pretty much it.
Yeah. Not a criticism. You need to set this up for a premise anyway, and Portal isn't the main thing for this, so...
Oh, yeah, that's it. You know, there's also the fact that when Midoriya dies, he can remember being reassembled.
Wait, what?
Well, yeah, during the test chambers, if he fails and he falls into acid or, gets propelled into a wall too hard, he basically gets dragged back to a reassembly area by robots and reassembled.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's a pretty traumatic thing for a preteen boy to go through.
Yeah.
But
I feel really sorry for him, because Midoriya is he's your fluffy sort of underdog who's been bullied all his life, and he's really nervous. He's got quite a nervous disposition. I feel really sorry for him. Shit.
Yeah, he's not the kid I'd put in a body horror situation.
I ended up feeling quite sorry for him, because, of course, he goes through all that and it's all horrifying and everything, and then he gets to the modern world and, wants to try to integrate. He's trying to fit in. He's, sort of trying to see the world as it really is, with all these, heroes with quirks and villains and things like that. Some of it he agrees with, some of it he doesn't. But luckily he's got Aizawa to sort of guide him. He's very much the father figure in all this. So, yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. And I don't want to spoil it any further than that, to be honest, because I think this one's worth reading and not for a laugh.
Oh, excellent. I'll have a look myself.
It is good. I recommend it. So, Deathly Silence, well done. I shall report back when I've actually finished the fic, because I'm going to read this, I think. I'm going to read this for from start to finish.
Yeah, there's not a lot I could say either from this. Not because you've not given us many details, but because it's a lot of it, and there's not a lot to make fun of.
Well, we're not really here to make fun of things, are we?
Well, no. I misspoke.
Yeah, I'll definitely look at it now I've got the link, and I'll probably read it in my spare time. Probably, and judging from what I've seen so far, I encourage others to.
This was the thing. It was one of those wonderful little moments that we sometimes get when doing these podcasts, where you find something which isn't just good because it's hilarious. It's just good reading. It's just a nice thing to read.
The creme de la creme.
Yeah, it's just a good read. Excellent. So yeah, well, happy with that. We'll report back. What have you been reading this week, Jim Segway?
I'm glad you asked. So, there's one thing about My Hero Academia that we didn't really talk about in the previous show. And that's that the kids design their own superhero costumes.
Aha. Uh-huh.
They just get given a budget to just design what they think would be useful for them. And then the school have a costume team that will put everything together.
Oh, cool.
And this fic expands on that. Because at the end of the school year in this fic, they bring in an expert to come talk about the costume design.
Who's the expert?
The expert is none other than Edna Mode from The Incredibles.
Oh!
Yeah!
Famous for no capes.
A,
among other things.
A harsh judge indeed.
So this fic is Edna's Intervention by Rose Jennison, and it picks up at the end of the school year. Aizawa is talking about how they have a consultant coming in to review all of their costumes.
Okay.
And Ida's excited, like, why wasn't this done at the start of the year? And he's like, well, we need to kind of have time to, like, review the costumes and see if the students can think of any other improvements themselves before the consultant comes in. And he's like, yeah, that's very clever.
Hmm.
And Aizawa mentions that they've been reporting on any malfunctions or issues. And Aizawa glares at Minetta as he says that. He's like, not a word to you. No.
Right.
Not allowed to give advice about the costumes. Because we know what he's like.
Okay.
He's a dirty...
He's the tiny pervert with the great pizza.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Though he is the one with a cape.
Yeah, so...
Oh, he's going to get slaughtered. I'm here for this. I'm fucking here for this. Carry on, James.
So Edna Mode is introduced with voices coming down the hallway. She's discussing things with Midnight. And Midnight, who is the sexy one, just goes, Miss Mode, this costume's been working perfectly for me for several years. And Edna says, just because something works does not mean it can't be improved, darling. And really, Midnight, I know you insist on having your boobies on display, but there are ways to show them off without risking exposing yourself on the camera. The material you have is so thin. I know it's your quirk, but that's really only needed on the limbs and such. You could do so much better if you protect yourself. Have you ever heard of tactical corsets? I've designed several, so I'll send you over the images and you can have a look-see, okay? Very good.
Hang on a minute. Hang on. I'm just going to...
Tactical corsets.
Tactical corsets. Right, let's have a look.
Yeah.
Oh, they're a thing.
I'm curious
like
what comes up for that. They are a real thing.
Yeah, they're like a Lara Croft kind of thing. I suppose they kind of hold you in and they have like holsters for your guns and things like that, so...
That is more practical than what Midnight was.
Yeah, I mean...
I can't comment on if it being practical, like, in actual combat.
Oh, but... it's like a tack vest, I suppose. People use them for airsoft.
Yeah.
Probably to make it hurt less, but there we go.
So...
A tactical corset is a real thing.
Yeah. Today we learned something.
Yes, we did.
Edna comes into the class and just goes, yes, of course, the little heroes. And the hero in the hobo suit. Scoot your sloppily dressed self over, Mr. Eraserhead. Good evening, I'm Edna. And she just goes through, she comes to talk to a few of them one by one. Mm. And unfortunately, we don't get to see every discussion that she has with them.
Aww.
We just go through some highlights. And I'm pretty gutted at that, because there's a few I was curious about.
Yeah.
So the first one she talks to is Minetta.
Yes.
Grace, do you want to read some of these as Edna Mode?
Okay, I'll try.
Our resident ASMR expert.
as the token girl. So, yeah, Minetta comes in. Edna just goes, yes, I only have one question for you. What in the world were you thinking? And Minetta goes, what do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
She grabbed the drawing and waved it in front of his face, leaning as far as she could toward him.
Have you looked at this design? Have you looked at yourself while wearing it? You look like you're wearing a diaper. I have seen underwear on outside colouring designs, some myself even. Now this is too much, boy, too much. How do you expect any agency to take you seriously in this getup?
You are already small. You want people to look at you and say, baby, do you? Slap the door
I guess I was thinking about how girls like babies because they're cute and a lot of them cuddle things close to them, so...
What? Your design is such a... That your life may depend on and you base it around one for boobies? No, that is unacceptable! I will submit designs for an alternative costume for you to wear.
But...
No, but you cannot be seen in this. I won't allow it.
Excellent.
Yeah, right,
excellent.
Oh, Christ.
Well done, incidentally.
Yeah, that was cracking, that.
Yeah.
I kept forgetting to take my fingers off my nose to read other bits.
It's fine. But she does praise his colour scheme, and she does mention the scarf is too young.
Too young. Too young, darling.
And too long, which is the word I was going for there. So to Kirishima, she says that the shoulder pads are too big. She's going to tweak them so that they don't cut into his underarms as much. Mineta comes in just crying back from the classroom. I'll be honest, I kind of want to read all of these because I enjoyed. So the three we get to see, there was Mineta, there's Aoyama, who is the French kid who has a laser on his belly button.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And there's Momo as well.
He is very fabulous.
Yeah, she likes the fabulous guy.
Right, okay.
Though her only complaint is he has a bit too much sparkle.
A bit too much.
Yeah. And he goes, whatever do you mean? How can you have too much sparkle? And she's all like, oh, I had a feeling you'd say that. You want to show off your shine, but the thing is none of it's coordinated. So he's just all glitter everywhere, but is, yeah, he needs to work on it.
Brilliant.
And of course he has a cape.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Edna's not impressed. And this is actually just a repeat of the speech from the original Incredibles, where she talks about Thunderhead and Stratogirl, Metaman, Dinoguy, and Splashdown.
Yeah.
Who were all in the first film, who all suffered because of their capes.
Oh, excellent.
So yeah, Aoyama doesn't get a cape anymore.
Yeah.
And this one, I do want to talk about her discussion with Momo. So Momo is what we talked about in the first episode. Mm. Her thing is she can create objects from her body.
Right, okay.
And as such, this necessitates having a skimpy outfit.
Yeah.
Edna needs to talk to her about that. She says, you have a good taste in fashion, darling, but it's more of a fitting swimsuit than a pro hero. And yeah, they discuss how you don't need... It's sort of skimpy in the wrong ways.
Right, okay.
You know what? It's going to be hard to describe, so I'm just going to cut to the chase. This section is based on a drawing of an improved costume design for her that they found on Tumblr.
Right, okay.
And I agree, this is a better costume for her.
Have you found it? Can you paste it in?
Yeah. I'm just going to get you a before and after. And I'll link to this Tumblr when we upload this fic. What am I doing? This podcast.
Actually, yeah, I've seen that photo is good design.
So this is her.
Because, like, not only is there more flesh on display to actually use the quirk more efficiently, but like it's...
In a less sexual way.
It's more combat appropriate.
Yeah, her canonical costume, she has there's a bit in the middle for her boobs.
Okay.
Like it's essentially a leotard.
Yeah, it's a very, very long V-neck.
Yeah, it's a really long V-neck.
Yeah.
The redesign, it's a two-piece, and... You can unstrap the back without taking it off. So if you need to create something long, you can do that on your back.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, this is a much more practical design.
Yeah.
And I think this art is the reason this fic exists.
Right.
And
so, yeah, it's sort of like a fix-it fic for a small detail in...
Fix-it fic for making better outfits. And most importantly, the boots no longer have heels.
Yeah.
Yeah, why the fuck did they have heels in the first place? Fucking ridiculous.
And that's something that's mentioned here as well.
We just make them long enough to go a little past the belt, just long enough to be comfortable. Our costume should distract the one wearing it. Then we change the boots to a flat assault, because no matter what Midnight might have said, heels are not safe during a fight. It can still be tough and dramatic while being safe. Why does no one understand that? We also change the shelf on your back to a pouch. Less likely to lose book that way. It's much better, wouldn't you say?
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
So there's another point.
It is now traveled, yeah. Well.
So Edna notes that the thing with Momo's power is to create objects, it uses her body fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Edna asks, can you choose which bits of fat you use?
Because
I would suggest actually taking some from your chest, darling. Perhaps go down a size or two in your bra.
Okay.
Okay.
This goes down, and Mo's like, oh, why? Like, I thought big boobs would make me popular. And she goes, oh, I see. I know you would think so. Nothing wrong with your size, dear, aesthetically speaking. But this is about your health and your future. Having a heavy chest can lead to back problems down the road. Not something you would want doing as a pro hero. She's like, ah, yeah, good point.
So, actually, I've just got a question to ask about this particular quirk.
Yeah?
Does that mean you can eat whatever the fuck you like?
Yeah.
Because you're going to need the body fat to make things.
Yep.
Oh, man, I tell you what, I think that's...
Yeah, she has the best power.
I think that's my quirk in this universe. If anybody ever needs, like a fucking skyscraper or an ocean liner building, I'm your man.
But here's the thing. She can only use what's available in her system, and she has to know how to make it. So she's actually the most intelligent character, because she knows how to just, like, make everything.
Oh, I get it, right.
Yeah, you've got to know, like, the atomic composition of glass, that, for example.
Sadly, it means it takes longer for her to make, like, more complex structures.
Right, I see.
But it does mean if you want to lose weight in a hurry...
Yeah. Also, if she uses up all her fat, she faints. So.
But yeah, you could just make a shed if you need to lose weight anytime soon. It's like...
that,
for example.
That'd be excellent. I mean...
Or make gold and then sell the gold.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or make rare and unobtainable Rover 800 parts.
Sure.
I see. If you two had powers, you would instantly become villains. Okay, right. Shall we carry on with the fic?
Sure. There isn't actually much after that, aside from boy with the cape crying. Because he wants to keep the cape. He wants to be glam.
That's sad.
He does love his cape.
Yeah. So, my only complaints about this fic is it is too short. I would like to see all of the interviews.
Yeah, I don't even know anything about My Hero Academia, and I still want to hear what Edna Mode has to say about them.
I just want Edna to roast every character. So please, please make more of this.
Yes.
That's all I'm asking. Oh, they also note, All Might's earlier designs used to have capes. He now doesn't have a cape.
Ah!
I wonder who's to blame for that.
Yes.
So yeah, in conclusion, I really liked this one.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
If you couldn't already tell.
It was fun. It was really fun.
Works inspired by this one, Edna's Intervention, which is a podfic by Opal Song.
Yeah, someone made a podfic of this as well.
Okay. Oh, excellent.
But I don't think we're treading on any toes, because it's just a reading. They didn't do the fantastically voiced impression of Edna by both me and Grace, so...
Oh, dear.
I think we've stayed in our own lane here.
Yeah.
And we're primarily here to review, not do dramatic readings.
Yeah, that's it.
I also like at the end that Edna and Netsu, the headmaster, are friends, and they just have tea together.
Yeah.
Because they're both small and... like
primly,
yeah. Like, they seem like they'd be friends if they were in the same universe.
Yes, it's always interesting time when I come here. You're looking very sharp as well, Mr. Principal. You are using the keratin. Yes, I started recommending it.
Oh yeah, what is keratin?
Huh?
I meant to check what keratin is.
It's a type of mineral or chemical or whatever. Oh fuck's sake! It makes up the hair. It's
hair, skin, and nails. Is keratin
good? It's very different from ketamine, then.
Yeah. Yes, James. I'm glad you didn't mix those two up.
It's what I read it as first when I was going through this. I'll confess. So, darling, are you enjoying the ketamine? Yes.
Netsu's just fucking...
I'm in a K-hole right now.
he's just fucking slumped in a corner, just like, you got a ton of me.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh,
that's exactly what I think it is.
It's funny because he's like a little, polar bear rat. his quirk is mastermind. Oh, right.
Yeah, he's a genius. He's a very clever rat.
Yeah, that's touched upon in my fic as well. Nedzu makes an appearance, and yeah, he's a super intelligent rat or mouse, whichever he is.
So I'm just looking. There are more Edna Mode related crossovers.
Yeah.
Into My Hero Academia, among others.
Oh, really?
So I may just go on an Edna Mode binge later on, just to see her arriving in other universes to roast costumes, because that's fantastic.
You found a new use for your spare time.
Yeah.
I suppose it's something we can work on when we do, like, character episodes.
She's here in Kingdom Hearts, and Kingdom Hearts, they need desperately her, to be need honest. Her. She's not... The cast of Kingdom Hearts are not practical people when it comes to outfits. Like, it's belts all over the place.
It's not practical, it's just dire.
Edna could
dire,
help.
Dire, man. there's an organisation who needs to be edgy, but they just settled with black coats because they didn't know what
the
else
black
to
coats,
do with themselves.
It's all glam.
Don't even mention, not even mentioning, like, the seats they sit on. How does anyone get to those seats? There's no stairs to get to the seats, and they're just, like, really high up and it's really tall. What is going to...
Yeah,
actually, hang on.
That's a story for another time.
Let's steer away from that.
I think maybe we'll come back to Kingdom Hearts eventually.
Yeah.
But next time, I think we're going to be doing a special episode, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What?
Because it's Easter.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Oh,
so
no.
Join us next time when we do that, probably.
Can you guess what it is yet?
It's going to be something horrific, isn't it?
They'll find out in due course.
One thing
I should probably mention.
And I hate it.
We will more than likely come back to My Hero Academia. Because this is the thing. It's a very big fandom. And we barely scraped the tip of the iceberg to mix the metaphor. So, and a lot of the last episode was just us explaining things.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Come back to it with less intro. You could watch some as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I may even watch my first episode of an anime.
Do it.
That isn't about cars.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm sure there's a car in there somewhere.
Oh, there will be if it's set in the reasonably modern age, but
there will
go.
Be.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you for everyone who's listened. Thank you to our authors. We had a lot of fun with all of these. And, yeah, join us next time when we do other things.
Join us next time
I've not got better at ending these, have I?
Hang on a sec.
It's been a year.
Hang on a sec. Join us next time for an exciting time.
Oh,
I was seriously sat here in my room for about the next, you know, the past 5 minutes going, don't you fucking say that. I want that to be mine.
I see. I'll let you keep the puns.
Yes.
That can be your thing.
I like a pun.
Good. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.